All right, so you sent us this really interesting set of documents, and I was looking through them. They're the annual financial surveys for the city of McLeod, Oklahoma.
Yeah, several years' worth, actually.
Yeah, so for this deep dive, we want to see what we can find out about, the city's financial health and also, how things have changed over time. It's like seeing the financial story of a place, through these records.
Exactly, yeah. We're looking at fiscal years ending June 30th. So from 2011, 2012, we have 2014, and then jumping ahead to 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023.
Okay, so we've got a decent span of time here. These aren't just just some boring numbers on a spreadsheet.
No, not at all.
They actually tell us, the story of where McLeod's money comes from, like all those different sources of revenue, taxes, grants, utility fees, and then just as important, how that money gets spent, like on keeping a city running.
Right, yeah. You're talking about everything from like police and fire departments to parks and all the roads we use.
So, listeners, by the end of this, you'll have a much clearer picture of McLeod's financial situation. We'll point out some trends that might surprise you and maybe help you understand a little bit about how a municipality, handles its money.
That's the goal.
Okay, let's start unpacking this. First things first. What exactly is the purpose of these yearly surveys? Why does a city like McLeod, go through all the effort of putting this stuff together?
Well, for one thing, these annual surveys, they're not just something McLeod decided to do on their own. They're actually required by Oklahoma statutes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that they're not just for the city's internal use, It's not just for the city to see their own finances. These reports serve a much broader purpose, like for planning and analysis, and not just locally, but at the state and even national levels.
Oh, okay.
So you've got groups like the State Auditor's Office, the Oklahoma Municipal League. You even have federal agencies and universities that rely on this standardized data.
Wow, okay. So it's part of a much larger system for, tracking how municipalities are doing financially.
Exactly. And it makes sense when you think about it. Everyone from state officials trying to understand local budgets to researchers studying economic trends, they all need reliable data that's presented in a consistent way.
Yeah, I guess so. I noticed the report even includes contact information for if the city needs help completing it, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. It suggests a real effort to make sure that the data is accurate and consistent across the board.
Okay, cool. So it's more than just, McLeod saying, "Hey, here's what we spent." It's like it's part of this bigger financial ecosystem.
Precisely. And one more important thing for our listeners to keep in mind. These reports, they require what's called an auditor's compilation report. So while this gives us a nice structured look at the numbers, it's not the same as a full-blown audit.
Ah, okay. So what's the difference?
Well, a full audit involves a much more rigorous verification process. Like the auditor actually goes in and checks the books in detail to make sure everything's accurate and complete. They dig really deep.
Ah, okay.
A compilation is more like an independent accountant has taken the information and put it together in the prescribed format, but they haven't necessarily audited or reviewed it to the extent that they could give a formal opinion on whether it's accurate or not. It's, a key difference to be aware of as we're going through all these figures.
Got it. It's like organized and presented, but not necessarily, fully vetted to that same degree. Okay, so with that in mind, let's jump into the revenue side of things. Where does the money come from? What can we see about tax revenue trends in these early years, like 2011 and 2012?
Okay, well, if we're talking tax revenues, property taxes are a really fundamental source of income for most cities, right? In the fiscal year ending 2011, McLeod reported $30,902 in property taxes.
Okay.
And then by 2012, this number almost doubled to $59,907.
Whoa, that's a pretty significant jump in just 1 year. Any thoughts on what might have caused that?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And unfortunately, the reports themselves don't really give us a direct answer as to why. But, whenever you see property tax revenue almost double like that, it often points to something big happening.
Like what?
Well, one possibility is a major reassessment of property values. That happens sometimes when, the values that the city has on record get out of sync with what properties are actually selling for. So they do a reassessment to bring everything up to date. And that can have a big impact on how much property tax people have to pay. It often reflects a changing local economy.
Right.
Other possibilities could be, like, if the city annexed new properties into the city limits.
Ah, so expanding the tax base.
Exactly. That would bring in more revenue. Or maybe there was a change in the actual property tax rate itself. But without more information, it's hard to say for sure.
Yeah, but it's definitely something worth, you know, noting, and maybe something our listeners, you know, if they're familiar with McLeod, might remember or could look into.
Definitely. It could be a clue to something bigger going on in the city at that time.
For sure. Okay, what about sales taxes? Because for a lot of cities, that's, you know, a huge part of their income.
It is, absolutely. Now, in fiscal year 2012, the report shows $611,469 in general sales tax revenue.
Okay.
But the 2011 excerpt we have, it doesn't give us a comparable figure for that year. So we can't really see a trend there, at least between those 2 years.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to licenses and permits. The report, you know, specifically breaks it down into occupation and business licensing and permits, and then other licensing and permits. What can we learn from those categories?
Sure. In 2011, the total revenue from all licenses and permits was $17,715.
Okay.
By 2012, that number jumped way up to $81,253.
Wow, another big increase.
Yeah, it is. Again, without knowing the specifics of what changed, we can only speculate about the reasons.
Right, right. But, you know, it could be that more licenses and permits were being issued, like maybe more businesses were opening up, or maybe there was a lot of construction going on, so more building permits were being pulled, or maybe the fees themselves went up.
That's another possibility. It shows how, you know, even seemingly small things like local fees can add up and make a difference to a city's finances.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Then we have franchise fees or taxes, which I think are like the payments that utility companies make to the city, right?
Yeah, like your electric company, your gas provider, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, they often pay fees to the city for the right to operate within the city limits.
Yeah.
And in 2011, McLeod brought in $80,499 from these franchise fees.
Okay.
And that increased slightly to $87,061 in 2012.
Okay, so not as dramatic a jump as like the property taxes or the licenses and permits.
No, this seems more like a stable revenue source, which makes sense because those agreements with the utility companies are usually long-term contracts.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, now there are some other specific taxes mentioned, like cigarette tax and hotel motel tax. What can we see about those?
All right, so the cigarette tax brought in $9,475 in 2011, and then that dropped a bit to $8,848 in 2012. The hotel motel tax was $3,140 in 2011 and decreased to $2,312 in 2012.
Okay, so both of those went down a little bit.
Right, but here's where it gets interesting. In the other revenue section of the 2012 report, there's a separate line for hotel tax, and the amount is much bigger, $137,721.
Oh, wow, okay. What's going on there?
It's a good question. It suggests there might be different classifications or reporting methods at play. You know, maybe one is a specific city tax on hotels and motels, and the other is a broader countywide or statewide tax, and the city only gets a portion of that. It shows how important it is to look at all the different parts of these reports, you know, not just focus on one section.
Yeah, it's easy to get lost in the details. Okay, and there's also a use tax in 2012 for $59,907. For our listeners who might not be familiar with this, can you quickly explain what a use tax is?
Of course. A use tax is basically a tax on goods that were purchased outside of the state but are used within the state. Like, for example, if you buy something online from a retailer in another state and have it shipped to Oklahoma, you're supposed to pay a use tax on that purchase. It's kind of like a counterpart to the sales tax, you know, making sure that stuff bought out of state is still subject to local taxes if it's being used locally.
Okay, so it's a way to like level the playing field between local businesses and out-of-state retailers.
Exactly.
All right, so we've seen a mixed bag of trends in tax revenue between 2011 and 2012, with some really big increases in areas like property taxes and licenses, and some smaller changes in other categories. Now let's shift gears and talk about another major source of funding for McLeod. Intergovernmental revenue. What exactly does that mean?
So intergovernmental revenue is basically money that McLeod receives from other levels of government, like from the state of Oklahoma or from the federal government. It often comes in the form of grants, which are typically given for very specific projects or purposes, or through a share of taxes that are collected at the state level and then distributed to cities and towns.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's like high levels of government are helping out with the funding.
Yeah, exactly. And the report specifically calls out fire grants. So in 2011, McLeod received $4,398 from the state in fire grants. That amount went up a tiny bit to $4,412 from the state in 2012.
Okay, so pretty consistent funding there, probably for, you know, ongoing state programs that help support fire departments.
Right. Now, there's also a more general category in the reports called All Other. And this is where it gets kind of interesting because it can include a bunch of different grants, and the amounts and descriptions can vary a lot from year to year.
I see. So what does the all other category look like for these years?
Well, in 2012, under grants listed within all other from the state, there's a significant amount, $137,639.
Wow, okay.
But unfortunately, the report doesn't tell us exactly what this grant was for. The form does say it could be for, like, parks and recreation improvements, public safety initiatives beyond just the fire department, job training programs, library grants, things like that.
Okay, so a variety of possibilities.
Right. And in 2011, the excerpt we have doesn't even give us a total amount for grants under all other, just a list of the potential categories.
Yeah.
So a bit in the dark there.
Yeah, it's hard to compare the 2 years without all the numbers. But this highlights how, you know, intergovernmental revenue can be less predictable compared to, like, the taxes we talked about earlier.
Exactly. It really depends on what grant opportunities are available in a given year and whether the city is successful in applying for and receiving those funds.
Right. Okay, let's move on to other revenues, which sounds like the catch-all category for anything that doesn't fit elsewhere.
Basically, yeah. Other revenues covers all the income that the city generates that's not taxes or intergovernmental money. And a big chunk of this category is utility sales revenue.
Ah, because McLeod has its own, like, water and sewer system, right?
They do. And the report shows revenue from the water supply system, sewage charges, and refuse collection.
Okay, so what were those numbers like in these years?
Well, in 2011, the water supply system brought in a whopping $463,948. Sewage charges came in at $304,046, and refuse collection charges were $220,263.
Those are some pretty big numbers. It really shows how essential utilities are, not just for the residents, but also as a major revenue generator for the city.
Absolutely. You know, people rely on those services every day, and the city relies on that income to fund its operations.
Makes sense. Okay. There's also a line for other sales and service revenue. What kinds of things would fall under that category?
This category is basically a mix of different city services and activities where the city charges a fee for people to use them.
Okay, give me some examples.
Sure. So the instructions for these reports mention things like recreation charges. So think fees for using, like, a public swimming pool or other recreational facilities.
Okay.
They also mention ambulance services, fees from parking facilities, and even revenue from municipal housing projects, if those exist.
Okay, got it.
And while these specific details aren't broken down in the 2011 excerpt we have, it's still helpful to see this category listed because it reminds us that there are all sorts of ways that a city interacts with its residents and can generate revenue beyond just taxes and grants.
Yeah, it paints a fuller picture of the city's operations. What else do we have in other revenues?
Okay, well, there's fines and forfeitures. In 2012, that brought in $165,599.
So things like traffic tickets and court fines?
Exactly. We also see interest earnings, which is basically the interest that the city earns on any investments it makes with its cash balances.
Okay.
And then there's miscellaneous other revenue, which totaled $43,463 in 2012. This is basically the catch-all for anything that doesn't fit into the other more specific categories.
Mm. Right. And finally, in other revenues, there's something called special assessments. What are those?
So special assessments are kind of interesting. They're basically fees that the city can charge property owners who directly benefit from specific public improvements.
Okay, so like if the city builds a new sidewalk or puts in new streetlights in a particular neighborhood, they might charge the property owners in that area a special assessment to help pay for it.
Exactly. They're different from regular property taxes because they're targeted at a specific group of property owners who are getting a direct benefit from that improvement.
Yeah.
And even though they're not technically considered taxes, they're still an important way for the city to fund certain types of projects.
Interesting. So it's like a way to spread the cost of improvements to the people who are directly using them. All right, so we've seen that the city of McLeod has this really diverse range of revenue sources, from traditional taxes and grants to these more unique things like user fees for services and even fines and special assessments. Now let's turn our attention to the spending side of this equation. The report has a really detailed section called direct expenditures by purpose and type. What does this section tell us?
Well, this is the part where we really get to see the city's priorities and how it allocates all those financial resources that we were just talking about. It breaks down all the spending by the city based on what the money was spent on things like general government administration, public safety, utilities, and also by the type of expense, like salaries and wages, or the cost of just keeping those services running.
Okay, so it's like a breakdown of how the money is actually used.
Exactly.
Let's start with governmental administration. What can we learn about how McLeod manages its internal affairs from these numbers?
So within governmental administration, there's a category for central administration. This covers, you know, the core functions of running the city. Things like the city council, the mayor's office, the city clerk, planning and zoning departments, personnel management, all that. In 2011, personal services for central administration totaled $132,843.
Okay.
And operations and maintenance costs came in at $91,508.
So what happened in 2012?
Okay, well, by 2012, personal services had jumped up to $208,963.
Whoa, that's a big increase.
It is. While operations and maintenance actually went down slightly to $84,755.
So more money spent on personnel, but less on just keeping things running. Any thoughts on why that might be?
Well, the increase in personal services could mean that they hired more staff, maybe to handle a growing workload, or maybe salaries went up across the board, or maybe it was a combination of those factors.
Yeah, it could be.
It's hard to know for sure without more details, but it definitely points to a change in how resources were allocated within that central administration function.
For sure. Okay, now, a major area for any city is public safety. What does the report tell us about how McLeod spent money on public safety?
Absolutely. So within public safety, we can look specifically at the expenditures for police and fire.
Okay.
For the police department in 2011, personal services were $378,958.
Okay.
And operations and maintenance came in at $133,053.
Okay.
By 2012, both of those figures had increased. Personal services went up to $419,614, and operations and maintenance rose to $165,990.
So a steady increase in spending on police services.
Yes. And on top of that, in 2012, there's a separate line for capital outlay for the police department, and the amount is $88,490.
Oh, okay. What does capital outlay mean in this context?
Basically, it means money that was spent on acquiring or upgrading physical assets like equipment and buildings.
Ah, so this could be things like new police cars, new radios, or other communication equipment, maybe even improvements to the police station itself.
Exactly. So it looks like there was a pretty substantial investment in the physical resources of the police force in 2012.
Yeah, that makes sense. What about the fire department? What were their expenditures like during this time?
So for the fire department in 2012, they spent $95,425 on personal services and $103,406 on operations and maintenance. The 2011 excerpt doesn't have a specific breakdown for the fire department.
Okay, so it looks like public safety, particularly the police department, was a major focus of spending for McLeod in these early years. All right, what about culture and recreation? How much was the city investing in things like parks and cultural programs?
Sure. So there's a category for parks, cultural activities, and other recreation. In 2011, the city spent $78,506 on personal services and $67,240 on operations and maintenance for this category.
Okay.
But 2012, we see a bit of a shift. Personal services went down to $66,686.
Okay.
While operations and maintenance went up to $86,398.
Huh. So less on personnel, more on like maintaining existing facilities and running programs.
That's possible. It could also reflect changes in staffing levels or maybe a decision to prioritize maintaining what they already had over expanding programs.
Yeah, it's interesting to see these different trends in different departments. All right, let's move on to the city's spending on utilities.
Okay, so when we talk about utilities, the main categories to focus on are the water supply system and sewers and storm sewers.
Right, because these are usually big areas of responsibility for a city, right?
Definitely. Right. Now, for the water supply system in 2012, the report shows $95,782 for the combined costs of personal services and maintenance.
Okay.
But then there's a separate line for construction costs, which falls under capital outlay. And that's a pretty significant $251,365.
Wow. Okay. So that suggests they were putting some serious money into upgrading the water infrastructure.
Yes, absolutely. And then for sewers and storm sewers in 2012, there's $51,575 for personal services and maintenance combined.
Okay.
And then $71,554 allocated for construction.
So more investments in the city's infrastructure.
Right. And these numbers really highlight how, you know, maintaining and upgrading essential infrastructure like water and sewer systems is a big ongoing expense for cities.
Yeah. It's not something you can just, you know, put off or ignore. Those systems have to work properly. Okay, the report also mentions expenditures on ambulance services under public safety. Do we have any numbers for that?
Unfortunately, the excerpts we have just list the category but don't provide specific amounts for ambulance services in 2011 or 2012.
Ah, okay. So we can't really say how much they were spending on that. All right, last thing in this expenditure section, interest on debt. What can we see there?
Well, this is important because it represents the cost of borrowing money.
Right.
The 2012 report shows that McLeod paid $118,479 in interest on debt, specifically related to the water supply system. So it seems like they had borrowed money at some point to fund improvements or expansions to the water system, and now they're paying interest on that debt.
Yeah, that's a cost that any city or town that takes on debt has to factor into their budget. It's not free money. Okay, moving on. There's a section called Salaries, Wages, and Force Account. What does this tell us?
This section is basically a summary of all the salaries and wages that were paid by the city across all those different departments and categories that we just talked about.
Okay.
So in 2011, the total amount spent on salaries and wages was $987,973.
Okay.
And that increased to $1,072,630 in 2012.
So an overall increase in personnel costs.
Right. And this aligns with, you know, some of the individual increases that we saw in specific departments like central administration and the police department.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now let's talk about the city's debt. There's a section called Debt Outstanding, Issued and Retired. Why is it important to look at a city's debt?
Well, a city's debt situation is really important for understanding its overall financial health. You know, is it taking on a lot of debt to fund projects, or is it keeping its debt levels manageable? The report breaks down debt into two main categories, long-term debt and short-term debt.
Okay, so what's the difference between those two?
Long-term debt is basically any debt that has a repayment period of more than 1 year. Think like bonds or mortgages. Short-term debt is anything that has to be repaid within a year, and it's often used to manage more immediate cash flow needs.
Okay, got it.
Now, under long-term debt, the excerpts we have mention specific categories like sewer debt and water supply system debt.
Right.
But unfortunately for 2011 and 2012, we don't have the actual amounts of debt outstanding or the amounts that were issued or retired during those years.
Okay, so we can't really dive too deep into the specifics of the long-term debt, at least with these excerpts.
Not with these excerpts, no. But we do know that McLeod had taken on debt for these specific purposes, which is pretty common for cities. You know, big infrastructure projects like sewer systems and water systems are often funded through long-term debt.
Right. Okay, what about short-term debt? Do we know anything about that in 2012?
Well, the report asks for the amount of short-term debt outstanding at the beginning of the fiscal year and at the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, those specific numbers are missing from this excerpt as well.
Ah, okay. So to get a full picture of McLeod's debt situation, we'd have to dig into the full reports and find those numbers.
Exactly.
All right, let's move on to cash and investments held at end of fiscal year. This sounds like a snapshot of the city's, like, financial reserves, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's basically how much cash the city has on hand at the end of the fiscal year, plus any money they have in bank accounts and any investments they hold. And it breaks down these funds into three main categories: sinking funds, bond funds, and what they call all other funds.
Yeah.
Looking at these balances can give us a sense of, like, the city's overall financial stability.
Right. Now, we talked about sinking funds a bit earlier, but can you remind our listeners what those are for?
Of course. Sinking funds are basically dedicated savings accounts that the city sets up specifically for the purpose of repaying long-term debt.
Okay.
So as the city is making those debt payments over time, they're also putting money into this sinking fund to make sure they have enough cash available when the debt comes due.
Makes sense. So how much was in McLeod's sinking funds in these years?
All right. So in 2011, the sinking funds totaled $648,569.
Okay.
But then by the end of 2012, that had dropped to $262,774.
Whoa, that's a pretty big decrease. Any idea why that might be?
Well, the report doesn't say for sure, but a drop like that often means that they use a big chunk of that money to make a payment towards their long-term debt, which would actually be a good thing. You know, paying down debt is a positive step for the city's long-term financial health.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's still a big change.
It is. And it's interesting to see that big decrease in the sinking fund alongside the relatively stable balances that we'll see in the all other funds category. This suggests that the city was prioritizing paying down some of its long-term debt during this period, which is a strategic decision.
Right. Okay, what about bond funds? What are those for?
So bond funds are for any money that the city has received from selling bonds, but hasn't spent yet. This money is usually earmarked for specific capital projects like building a new school or a new road, whatever the bond was issued for.
Okay.
But in both 2011 and 2012, McLeod doesn't have anything listed in this category.
So what does that mean?
It could mean that they didn't issue any bonds during those years, or it could mean that any bond proceeds they did receive were spent pretty quickly on the intended projects.
Okay, got it. And lastly, there's the all other funds category.
Right. So this is where the bulk of the city's general operating cash and investments reside. It's all the money that isn't specifically set aside for debt repayment or for specific projects.
Okay.
In 2011, this totaled $608,417 for McLeod, and it decreased slightly to $580,544 by the end of fiscal year 2012. So it's fairly consistent.
So overall, a big decrease in the debt-related sinking funds, but a pretty steady balance in the general operating funds. It paints an interesting picture of where the city's reserves were at during those years. All right, the report also includes a section on auditor information.
Yes, and this is where they formally identify the independent accounting firm that compiled the annual financial survey for McLeod and give their contact information. But importantly, they also include a standard disclaimer that explains the report is just a compilation of the information that the city provided.
Right. Like we talked about earlier, it's not a full-blown audit.
Exactly. So it's just something to keep in mind. We can't assume that every number in this report has been independently verified.
Got it. And lastly, there are some supplementary instructions at the end that explain, like, what's included in the report and what's not.
Yes, these instructions are really important for making sure we're interpreting the data correctly. So one thing they clarify is that this report isn't just for the core city government. It should also include any related governmental authorities and special districts that operate within the Cloud's boundaries.
Oh, okay. So, like, if there's a separate water district or a school district, their financial information should be included too.
Exactly. That way, the report provides a more complete picture of the overall financial situation for the entire municipality and all of its related entities.
Makes sense.
Another thing they clarify is that the tax revenue section that we talked about earlier, that only includes taxes that are imposed by the city itself. It doesn't include things like service charges for utilities or those special assessments we talked about.
Ah, because those fall under different revenue categories.
Exactly. And these instructions also give us more details about what's included in the different intergovernmental revenue categories.
Oh, okay.
For example, they might specify that the revenue from the state's alcoholic beverage tax is intended for general city support, whereas money from vehicle tags and gasoline taxes is usually earmarked for roads and highways.
Oh, okay. So it's like breaking down the money by its intended use.
Right. And having these detailed instructions helps ensure that all the cities and towns in Oklahoma are categorizing their financial data in the same way, which makes it easier to compare them and analyze trends.
So we've done a lot of digging here. We've looked at McLeod's tax revenue, their grants, their income from utilities and other services, how they spend that money, their debt, and their cash reserves. It's really a pretty comprehensive snapshot of their financial activity in these early years.
It is. And, you know, one thing that really stands out to me is how reliant McLeod was on certain key revenue sources. Like the sales tax and the money they brought in from their utility services, those were big contributors.
Yeah, for sure.
And we also saw that a significant portion of their budget went towards essential services like public safety and maintaining and upgrading their infrastructure. It really makes you think.